Today's daf is Nida daf Nun Zayin, and we are at the Mishnah, the first of the two Mishnayos on daf Nun Vav Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a tzchus refuah shleima for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza. So, at the latter part of today's daf, we're going to begin the next parak Haroya Kesem, which, as its name implies, discusses the halachas of Ksamim. Stating that, the Mishnah we're going to learn now talks already about Ksamim. So, what exactly is a Kesem? The Rambam, in Perek Tes, Hilchas Yisurei Bia, Halacha Aleph, describes the basic halacha of Nida. Says the Rambam, Eino Isha Mistama Min HaTorah B'Nida Oy B'Ziva. A woman doesn't become a Nida or a Ziva. Ad Shetargish V'Tiradam V'Yetze B'Vzara. Unless she feels Dam leaving from her uterus. In other words, we know what a nida is. A nida is a woman that sees a certain color dam. It comes from Oisei Makim. The Rambam adds to that a very important qualification, and that is, Eino Yishu Mistama Minatar B'Nidai B'Ziva, Acha Targish V'Tira Dam, unless she feels the dam move. But if she didn't feel the dam, even though the dam for sure came from the Makar, even though it's one of the four or the five colors that would render a woman a nida, she would not become a nida. But the Rambam says clearly, Midai Raisa, Eino Isha Mistama Minatoira. If a woman sees dam, and she has reason to assume that the dam came from the Makar, but there was no Hargasha, although she's not a nida Midai Raisa, she is considered a nida Midrabanan. That dam that she finds is what's known as a Kesem. Being that a Kesem is only dam, Nida midrabanan, it's for that reason there are many kulois that we find when it comes to ksamim. So if a woman feels the dam leaving her gof, she becomes a nida deraisa. If she didn't feel the dam, then she's only going to be a nida midrabanan. The question is, what exactly argosh is? And that's a big shaila already in the Achroinim, discussing what exactly the definition of hargosha is, and there's nafkaminas, because if a woman sees dam, but we're not 100% sure if there was a hargosha, at the very least, she wouldn't be a nida midairaisa, she'd only be a suffic nida midairaisa. So this is something that the poskim can take into account when they're viewing maris or dealing with hilchas nida situations. That's the basic halach of ksamim as it relates for sure to this morning's daf. Zok the Mishnah, kolak samim haboin mirekem tohirim. Any kesem that comes from rekem was considered to be taught. Rashi says, because the people that lived in Rekem were non-Jews. And although there's a halacha that a kesem is considered dam nida, but that's only if the kesem came from a Jew. But if the kesem came from a non-Jew, there is no tuma midrabanan. And being that the inhabitants of Rekem were considered to be non-Jews, says the Mishnah, kolak samim abam me Rekem tohay Rabbi Yehuda. Tam Rav Yehuda says, "I know it's Tame." Because even though the people that lived in Rekem maybe acted like non-Jews, but really they were Jews. In fact, Rav Yehuda says, if you know the history, they converted at some point. And as a result, any kesem that comes from there is considered to be coming from a Yid, not from an Ein Yehudi, and it's going to be Tamei. If a kesem comes from someone that we know for sure is a non-Jew, as implied from the first part of the Mishnah, that's for sure going to be Tamei. What if the kesem came from a Yid, or came from a Kuti, the Gemara is going to clarify a little bit better what exactly that line means. So the Mishnah mentions the idea of a kesem, which we explained in the introduction. The Mishnah also seems to be saying that the halach of ksamim only relates to Jews. It doesn't relate to non-Jews. Now, the truth is, that's a little bit of a chiddush, as Tosfos points out, because we had earlier in the Masechta that even though a non-Jew doesn't have nida midairaisa, but she does have nida midrabanan. In fact, the Chachamim made a takana that every single non-Jewish woman, whether she saw dam or didn't see dam, she should be considered a nida midrabanan. So all non-Jews are considered to be nidais. So if they're considered to be nidais, here you have this phenomenal chumrah in Hilchas Nida as relates to a non-Jew. So now why is it that a kesem that comes from a non-Jew somehow is tar? A kesem that comes from a Yid is tar. A kesem that comes from a non-Jew is tar. You'll say, oh, because Hilchas Nida doesn't relate to non-Jews. Not true. In fact, you find that all non-Jews have a din of nidais, and any dam that comes from them is considered dam nida, which as we've seen, we're learning the sugyas, is considered tamei. So why is a kesem any different? So Tosfos says, you have to say, that even though the Chachamim were geyser, that all non-Jews should be nidais, which would mean that the dam that comes from them is dam tamei, it's dam nida, but they were only geyser on real dam nida midairaisa, which is nida that had a hargosha. But any dam that's a kesem, being that it's not dam nida midairaisa, on that the chachamim never made the takana that the non-Jews should be considered nidois, and that's the backdrop of this Mishnah. The Mishnah is basically saying that a non-Jewish woman doesn't have the halacha of ksamim. How does it relate to a kesem that comes from rekem? That's a machloikis of Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. How does that relate to kutim? That's a machloikis remain the chachamim. Either way, zok the Gemara kapasik v'tani afilu mitarmud. So the Gemara looked at this Mishnah and made one observation. And that was, the Mishnah says that any kesem that comes mibeina oivde kechavin is going to be tar. And it sounds like any shtetl that the Gentiles lived in, if a kesem would come from there, you would be able to say that you have nothing to worry about, don't worry about tumah, because the ksamim that come from the non-Jews is not a problem. What's the chiddush? Even from Talmud. So Talmud was a place where people that lived were somewhat controversial, and that there was a machloikis amongst the chachamim whether those people were non-Jews or whether those people were Jews, but they were Jewish mamzerim. So the Gemara says, if the Mishnah says above me, it sounds like even from Talmud, I'm Rabbi Yechon, it's Rabbi Yechon, it's Rabbi Yechon. If that's the case, it sounds like the people that live in Talmud are non-Jews. And if they're non-Jews, they can be Mekabel Gerim. If they convert, they can become full-fledged Jews. Again, what's the other tzad? That they're mamzerim. A mamzer can't be megayer because he's Jewish already. A non-Jew could be megayer and become a full-fledged yid. In a way, there's a kula in being a non-Jew versus being a mamzer. Right? If you want to marry in to the Kahal Hashem, a mamzer has no way of doing that. A non-Jew does. He could be Megayer. So Rabbi Yochanan said that from the Mishnah that says Habam Yibeinu Evdei Kechavim Toirim, and it doesn't say anything about Talmud, right? The Mishnah got involved in Rekem, it got involved in the Kutim, but somehow it didn't say anything about Talmud. Oh, Vaisto is Talmud, which was a place that was understood that the people that lived there behaved as non-Jews, and if the Mishnah says Mibeinu Evdei Kechavim, it certainly seems to include in that Talmud. If that's the case, the people of Talmud are non-Jews. If they're not Jews, it could be Mekabel Gerim. The one says anything from Rabbi Yechanan, Visavio, Rabbi Yechanan and Savio both said, Talmud, you can't be Mekabel Gerim from Talmud. So you have a stira in Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, Zoy say Meris Mekabel Gerim Talmud. And here Rabbi Yechanan said, Mekabel Gerim Talmud. Rabbi Yechanan never paskind Mekabel Gerim Talmud. He said, Zoy say Meris Mekabel Gerim Talmud. He said that the Tana of the Mishnah seemingly holds Mekabel Gerim Talmud. Who said he agrees with that? But that's not true, because Vam Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan said, Loch Kistam Mishnah. So if Rabbi Yechanan said that the Mishnah holds Mekabel Gerim Talmud, that means Rabbi Yechanan is of the opinion that Mekabel Gerim Talmud. And if Rabbi Yechanan holds Mekabel Gerim Talmud, you have a steer, because here Rabbi Yechanan says, Mekabel Gerim Talmud. The Gemara says, I'm Iran Ninu, Valibid Rabbi Yechanan. I mean, even though throughout Chas you find that Rabbi Yechanan is a Loch Kistam Mishnah, apparently not everybody agreed with that. The war I'm Iran that had heard from Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan held but there are other Amayram that heard from Rabbi Yechanan not that way. There were many versions. There seem to have been a lot of machloikis and shas as we come towards Hadron Aloch Talmud Bavli. Many machloikis and angst Amayram, what exactly Rabbi Yechanan said. Right, Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavli. He reported that Rabbi Yechanan said this. Then Rav Dimi reported that he heard that. Amayram ninu v'alibad Rabbi Yechanan is something that you find. So whether Rabbi Yechanan in fact held Aloch HaKistam Mishnah is apparently debatable. If you hold Rabbi Yechanan hold Aloch HaKistam Mishnah, so then Rabbi Yechanan holds Mekabel Gerim Mitarmon. If Rabbi Yechanan holds that a Mekabel Gerim Mitarmon must be that Rabbi Yechanan did not hold that halacha kistam mishnah. What was the shaila? Whether mekabel gerim mitamer, or emekabel gerim mitamer, if the people in Talmud were non-Jews, or if they were really mamzerim. So Rashi says it's based on a sugya, mesachtes yevamis, and a mesachtes kedushin that discusses a non-Jew that fathers a child with a Jewish woman. So what's the halacha of the child? Everyone knows the halacha of the child is it's Jewish, because when it comes to Yid or not Yid, you follow the mother. If you want to know if you're a Kohen Levi of Yisrael, you follow your father. But if you want to know if you're Jewish or you're not Jewish, so then the halacha always is, you follow your mother. Stating that, not everybody agrees with that in Shas. There's three shitas in Shas as it relates to this. There's a mandama that says, Eved Vakuti, a non-Jew, Habal Bas Yisrael, a Jewish girl, Havlad Oivikechavim. There's a mandama that holds a child is considered a non-Jewish child. There's a mandama that holds that the child is a mamzer. And then there's a shita that holds the child is kosher. It's a big machlek. It's Rishayinim, and there's a famous Marshan Kedushin. Now we paskin that the child is a Jewish child. But the people in Talmud were the offspring of such zivug, which the father was a non-Jew, the mother was a Jew, and that's the backdrop. There were those that held they were mamzerim, there were those that held they were non-Jews. Obviously, there would have been others that held that they were full-fledged Jews, but the bottom line is, that's the backdrop. It's just interesting that even though we paskin that the Eved Dekuti Abba Bas Yisrael Avad Kosher, but there is precedence in halacha to be machmer sometimes. So, for example, Rav Kivegin, end of Hilchas Mila, in his Agoyis and Shulchan Aruch, says that if you have a child that was born from a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother, you don't do Mila Bizmanoi on Shabbos. Because Mila Bizmani, that's Teich HaShabbos, is only for a Jewish child. A non-Jewish child, even if the Mila is Lishen Geirus, but it would never be Teich HaShabbos. So Kivega says that being there are such Shitas in the world that hold the Eved Vakuti Abab As Yisrael, the child isn't necessarily a Jewish child, we're chayos for those Shitas. The Pesach Shuv and Eben Ezra 7 Dalet brings from the Chavistas, the Nesivas, who already said that maybe there's Mokna to be Machmer. Either way, Zok the Gemara Vaitami. Ben Yisrael, the second part of the Mishnah said, Haboyin mi in Yisrael, we ben akutim. What happens if the kesem came from Yisrael, or if it came from Oivdei Kechavim? Oh, it came from the kutim. So Meir says Tomei, and the Chachamim says Tahar, and the Chachamim said Tahar. Why? Mipnei Shaloi Nechshetu Al Kesem. So the Gemara explains. For Rabbanan, Idi Yisrael Matari, the Mamatamu, right? It sounds like from the Mishnah that according to the Chachamim, Tahar, even if the kesem came from Yisrael, Mibein Yisrael, a Jewish kesem, Umibein Akutim, a kesem that comes from Akuti, Remeir says Tahar, the Chachamim says Tahar. The Chachamim say Tahar, if it came from a Yisrael, then when is a kesem have a Tahar? We know there's something called a kesem. So if there's something called a kesem, and it's not from Rekem, it's not from a non-Jew, it's not from Akuti, and it's not from a Jew, so who is it from? Who's left over? Mar says, you're right. Suri mechsev achitani. Mibein Yisrael, tami. Avad, there's no machlokes remain the chachamim as relates to a kesem that comes from Yisrael. Because if it comes from Yisrael, everybody's going to hold. It's tami. Bein akutim, if it came from the kutim, remain it hamil. Dear, there's machlokes remain. It says, tami, the kutim, geirei emes. Because he holds the kutim were geirei emes. I mean, that they were geirei emes, they were Jews. If they were Jews, they have regular tumas ksom. If the chachamim etar, the chachamim say tar, the kutim geirei arroyes say, because he holds that they were geirei arroyes as a result. So that age old machlokes, which appears over and over and over and over again, with the kutim geri emnes or with the kutim geri arroyos, that is the hezman of machloikis. A chapsa nafkamina in many areas in Shas, but in your neinu in hilchas ksavim, a kesem that comes from a Jew is tamei. If it comes from a non-Jew is tar. What's the halacha of a kuti? If you hold geri emnes, that's from meyashita tamei. If you hold geri arroyos, they're going to be tar. But the Gemara says it's not mash, but that's what the Mishnah holds. Because ihachi shloi nechshetu al kismeyem geri arroyos mi boile. The Chum gave a reason why the kesem of a kuti is tahar. Shloi nechshetu. They're careful when it comes to ksavim. Nothing to do with being careful. It's because they're not Jews. It's because they're viewed as oivdei kechavim. Because kutim geri arayo is saying. The Gemara says you're right. Elo hachi kami after. Say mi beis omein akutim tmeim. They're really both remain the chachavim hold that kesem that comes from Yisrael or from a kuti tamei. Why the kutim geri emes? Because the kutim were really geri emes. So in Bar Yisrael, where the machlokes remain, the chama was a separate halacha. What happens if somebody finds a kesem? You find a beged and there's dam on it that certainly looks like a kesem. So if you found it Bar Yisrael, ironically, tahirin. And the reason is shalei nechshetu al kismeim. Because Jewish women are careful. They understand that there's something called ksamim. And if a Jewish woman finds a kesem on her bag, then she puts it aside so she can show it to a rav or whatever. But the point is, she's not just going to leave it around. So if you find a bag that has a kesem on it, bar Yisrael, loy nechshetu b'nois Yisrael al kismeim. So therefore, we assume it's tahar, because that's noy matzn l'am. It's on bari kudim. If, however, you find it bari kudim, v'ira meir metamo the nechshal kismei v'chamim utar shal nechshal kismei. So the machlokes remei the chachamim was not whether the kutim were geirei emes or the kutim were geirei arayos. Everybody holds they were geirei emes, and that's why they're subject to the laws of ksamim. The shaila was something else. Nechshetu al kismeim, or loy nechshetu al kismeim. For my nafkumino, if you're in on har grizin and you find the beggar that has a kesem on it, that's where the kutim live. And now you want to know, is it an issue or is it not an issue? Rameir says it's a problem. Rabbi Chamim says no, loy nechshetu al kismeim. They were not chashud when it comes to kismeim. Now, one thing seems to be clear from this Gemara that the maskana, the Gemara holds, that both Remei and the Chum hold that the Kutim were Geri Emes. And that is the way the Rambam paskins Kutim Geri Emes. Stating that, we've spoken this out so many times. The Gemara in the first parak of Masechet Chulin says that even according to the Man Amar that holds Kutim Geri Emes, the later Batei Dinim in Klal Yisrael decided that they saw that the Kutim weren't behaving, the Musyoina, Matsu, Behar Grizin, and they paskin that the Kutim here, moving forward, will be treated no longer as Yidden. They're going to be treated as non-Jews. Tosfos Yontif's Kasha, this is where the Tosfos Yontif asks it right here. He says, how's that even possible? He says, how could you change the status of somebody? If this was a group of people whose great-great-great-great-grandfathers, the Elta Zedas, the ancestors, converted to Judaism, and it was a legitimate conversion, Kutim Geri Emes, how could a Bezdin in the times of the Amiraim or the Tanan decide that we don't want these people to be considered Jews anymore, we're going to make them non-Jews? So we've spoken about this so many times. But again, this is a Gemara that seems to come out, Kutim Geri Emes, that's all before Chulin Dav Hei. But after Chulin Dav Hei, everything switches, because then already the Chachamim later, but they didn't make takanas related to the Kutim. So every time you learn the Asugya of Kutim, we always speak this out, you have to ask yourself, are we going Kutim Geri Emes? Are we going Kutim Geri Arayas? Or are we going after Chulin Dav Hei? Later generations, where even if you held they were Geri Emes, still we would treat them as non-Jews and sometimes even Lakula non-Jews. But the income, if somebody finds a kesem tahar, that's the Gemara we just learned. Why? Because the Bnei Yisrael are not chashur that they're going to just leave their ksamim around. So if somebody finds a beged and there's a kesem on it, you could assume that it's not dam nida. It's dam that came from somewhere else. Nothing to worry about. Chutz minam nimtzam b'chadarim. Unless you find it in one of the chadarim, like in a room that's like a closet or something. Ubesfivos beis atmeis. Or if you find it near the beis atoma. So what was the beis atoma? Zok Rashi in the Mishnah. Cheder she'anoshim mishtamshin spoy b'mei nidasim. This was the cheder where the women used to be while they were in Nida. So Pashim Shah, why were women in special rooms while they were in Nida? Because in the olden days, Nida wasn't only Negeya Hilchas Yisurei Biya. It wasn't only Negeya Tashmish, Mutta Labayla, Asa Labayla. Nida was also Negeya Tumah V'Tayres. People were involved with Tayres. And if a Nida touches Tayres, you can create problems. So they needed almost a separate kitchen for the Nida, because you can't get close to the food. Because what's she going to do? She's going to end up messing up the food. That's why the girls in the olden days, even that weren't married, used to go to the mikvah once they started seeing Dam Nida. Because if they're going to help out in the kitchen, and this is a family that's a sekis b'tahayros, they have no choice. They have no choice but to be taught. But there's another idea, and that is what the Ramban says in Parashas Vayetze by Rachel. Right, Rachel told Laban, I'm sorry, I can't get up. You can't look where I'm sitting for the trophin. So what? Erech Noshim? Break the Ramban. I don't understand. Lovin's looking for his trophin, his Avodah Zarah. This is very valuable. It's worth a lot of money. There's a lot of sentimental value for sure to Lovin. And now Rachel, because she's a Nida. So like, what's going on? So Ramban says, yeah, because in the olden days, people didn't talk to Nidas. They were cast away to a degree. The bottom line is that you have this idea of a Beis HaTumah that's mentioned over in the Mishnah. Pashup Shad, it's because of Tyrus. But really, if you know the rest to the story, there's a little bit more to that. Either way, it's up to Mishnah. So if you find a kesem, stam, you don't have to assume it's a kesem, because a real kesem, these girls would hide. If, however, you find it in a cheder, or sviva, it's based on tumas, in the vicinity of this oil that the woman would be in while she was in Ida, so that's already more chamed. Based on tmeya shal kutem et hama ba'il, says the Mishnah, me'inyan le'inyan. The base atoma of a kuti is metama ba'oil. Now, why is it metamah b'oil? Nida's not metamah b'oil. The reason is with nation kovrim shamas anafalo, because the kutim, they used to bury the anafalos. Rachmanu l'slan, if there was a nafal, a child was miscarried, they would bury the child in that beis atoma, where the nida would spend time. Right, the kutim also kept hilchas nida, so they would, in addition to spending time there while she was a nida, that's where she would bury the nafal. So it's a place that's like a beis akvaris. A kohen's not allowed to walk in. If a person walks in, he's metamah b'oil. Who that mean? Who just says, "Hey, kohen"? They didn't bury the nefalim there. Ela mashlichen. They used to just throw it there. The chayy gerate, they would feed it to the animals. In fact, that therefore emerges in a kula. What's the kula? If they buried it, so it's a basic forest, it's going to be metamah b'oil. But if they didn't bury the children there, they would just throw it there, and we assume that a chayy would come and schlep it away. So if you don't see it there, then obviously the chayy schlepped it away already. So if somebody would walk in, he wouldn't be tummy to myself. Now, even though we said that if the base atoma of a kuti is a place that's metama ba'oil, because there's this thought that maybe the kuti would bury the nafil there, but if the kuti tells you, I didn't bury any nafil here, he's believed. Now, on that note, we digress from our digression. If a kuti tells you about a certain behema, that this behema had a child already, you can believe him, and therefore, the next child that's born, you don't have to assume as a b'chai. Now, in general, general, kutama believe to say that this is where somebody is buried. The inam adam loy malas chacha is v'la parois. We'll see what that means. V'la beis apras. We'll see what that means. Yeah, klal dovish echshudim by inam adam loy. Anything that a kuti is chashed on, he has no amanas on it. If it's something that a kuti is not chashed on, but that he has an amanas. Zok de gemara, my darish. So the kutim are an enigma, right? On the one hand, they keep a lot of halachas, but then again, every now and again, you find the halacha related to a kuti. He doesn't care about this, he doesn't care about that. Meaning, it sounds like kutim used to bury the mason. They didn't cremate them. They didn't just throw them away. They would bury them. You see that a kuti is believed al tzi and kfaros, but at the same time, a nafel, that was different for some reason. So what was the basis for that? Meaning, we clearly hold the halacha that a nefil requires kfuras Yisrael. The kuti held not that way. So what was the basis of the kutim? So the Gemara says, my darish was based on a drasha. It says, le'sasig gvul reyecha asher gavlu rishoyne b'nachla zechen. A pasuk b'shat, that pasuk is referring to the halacha of being masig gvul, a halacha that we're all familiar with. But Rashi quotes Chazal, that Chazal said that in addition to the basic halacha of being masig gvul, we learn from that pasuk that a person is not allowed to sell his kever avos. So if there's a plot or a field where this mishpacha has been burying their family members for years, so it's also to go ahead and sell it. So this pasuk, le'sasik vol reyecha, asher gavli rishonim v'nachla zecha, is referring al derech drush to a kever, gvul meaning a kever. And we learn from there that loisasi gvul, you're not allowed to sell the gvul if it's benachlo secho, kol sheyesh le'nachla yesh le'gvul, kol shein le'nachla in le'gvul. I mean that a nefil doesn't yarshin, so if he doesn't yarshin, he's not going to have this halacha of gvul either. Mishnah said, nemonim loimar, the kavarno, a kuti is believed to say that we buried our mason. Frank the Gemara, why is he believed? Well, less will the evil see to mechshol. Don't we have a Kabbalah that the kutim, with despite the halachas that they observed, but one thing they weren't careful in was will the evil see to mechshol. Meaning for themselves, they were very from, but they didn't care to be machshol somebody else. So Frank the Gemara, why do you believe a kuti to say we buried, we didn't bury? L'chayra, he'll tell you that there's no nefil there because he doesn't care if you do an avera. They don't hold the v'lif ne'iver lo'isita michshol. I'm Rabbi Avo said, you're right. The fact that he tells it to you, that means nothing. Halchav Mayaskino, where there was a koyin standing there. There was a koyin kuti that was standing in this place where he said there's no nefil buried. Oh, then, even though he's not choshed to be machshol you, but at the same time, he's not going to be machshu himself. So if he's standing there, vaistois, he feels it's all. Maybe he's a kayan, but he's tamei. So mean that he's tamei, it's not a problem. Now, is someone that's tamei allowed to be metame in the Beisak forest? No. Stating that, what comes to mind is the derived that says bizman azeh the kayanim atmeim. So maybe it's not awesome for a kayan to be metame in bizman azeh. The truth is chasam soifer and the dogum revav of ain kamen kayan baharach. We spoke about this in the introduction to Masechtas Nida most recently. Greater detail, we spoke about it in Masechtas Nazir, but the kuti maybe doesn't know that. And maybe the kuti in his Shulchan Aruch maybe comes out like that rivalry, really the kula, that once somebody's tameh, he's allowed to be metame legamri. So maybe the kohen is tameh. The fact that the kohen tameh is standing, the fact that the kohen is standing doesn't in and of itself mean that it's not a problem. Mar says the naka truma biyade. No, he was holding truma. And if he's holding truma, he would never be metame truma. But then with truma tameh, maybe the truma itself is tameh. So the Mar says, no, he was eating from it. And the kohen, even if he's tameh, would never eat truma tmei. Okay, so then what's the chiddush? I mean, bishloim of the chiddush is that he's believed, and although he's not makbid of lifnei v'leisit amichshol, so I understand the chiddush in the mishnah. But now you tell me the guy's standing there; he's an upkehit and a kuti, and he's eating truma. So clearly, there's no nefil there. There's no one buried there. Where it says ma'ud the table loybikiyah biyitzira kamash balon hilchas nefal was not such a simple shulchan aruch. You have to know what's a nefil, what's not a nefil. Has to be 40 days from conception. So the point is that maybe he thinks in his mind that there's no nefil buried there, but really there is a nefil buried there. So you can't trust him. You would have thought that kamash balon. That's the chiddush. That at the end of the day, you're allowed to trust him. Just one aura. What does it mean this kuti was a kayan? How could you have a kuti that was a kayan? I thought the kutim were all converts. Didn't they all convert? Shiloh Geri Emes or Geri Arayas. Incidentally, if you go to Har Grizim today, you can meet the kayanim, and you can even meet the kayan gadol. They have a kayan gadol. So they believe that they're kayanim descendants from Aharon. But if you think about it, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Because the basic history of the kutim is they converted. So That's just some little bit of food for thought. The Mishnah said that not only are they believed with regards to is a navel buried here, is a navel not buried here, but they're also believed to say regarding a behema that this behema had a baby already, so that any child that's born afterwards is not subject to the laws of Bechar. Why they believed? Even though they themselves may be akil from the laws of Bechar, but they have no problem being machshel you. But again, it's talking about when he was doing work with the animal that was born, so that if it was a Bechar, he would never do work with it. So it's not that we believe what he's telling you. We're basing it on what we see. And we see that he himself is doing Giza Vavoida, which is something you're not allowed to do with a Bechar. That's the Raya, that this animal is not a Bechar. Then what's the Chiddush? So the Gemara says, I would have thought, you would have thought that Enochanami, this Kuti, is doing work with it, and that's a Raya, that it's not a Bechar. But really, says, it's only a Raya that he doesn't think it's a Bechar. Maybe it is a Bechar, he just doesn't think it's a Bechar. Because maybe the mother had previously miscarried a child, something questionable. So the Kuti went le kula, assumed that that miscarried child was the Bechar. As a result, this one's not. But really, in our Shulchan Aruch, again, you can't go to a Kuti Rav and ask him a Shaila, even if it's an area in Shulchan Aruch that they observe like we do, because maybe there's details. So you would have thought that maybe this is such a case. So as a result, even though you see him being Geizes Va'ovid, it doesn't have any bearings to us, Kamashmon, that it does. Nemanim Altsiyah. So the Gemara, the Mishnah said that they believe to say that there's someone buried here or there's not someone buried here. Meaning, they're believed to say that there's no one buried here. You could be involved in Tyrus over there, fake the Gemara, or says the Gemara, v'afagaf the midrabanan, even though Tzion Kfarois is really a dindarabanan, meaning the obligation to put him at Seva, where a mace is buried, is only a dindarabanan. So it sounds like that's not something they're very careful in, because they didn't keep the Dirabanans, they didn't follow the Chachamim, they had their own Messiah or whatever it was. So the Teresh of Iksav, Teresh of Alpeh maybe, but for sure not the Dirabanans. Mara says, Kim the Chsiva, Mrs. Ziri Beida. This is something we're careful in, because even though really the idea to put a Matzev as a Din Dirabanan, but it has a Makar in Nach, because the Pasuk says, V'ra Etzem Adam, Uvana Etzle Tzion. Now this is a pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Lamates. It's talking about after Mechemes Goygu Magoyg, that all the dead people, there'll be bones lying around. You're going to see a bone, you're going to bury it, and you're going to put them at Seva. Poi nitman, this bone. But the point is that it has a makar in a pasuk. So even though that pasuk doesn't say you have to do it, but being that there's a makar to the idea of a matzev in a pasuk, it's for that reason they were nizin in it. So what are these three things that the Mishnah said? The halach is if you have a mace that's buried underneath a tree, but it was buried underneath one of the branches of the tree. So these branches were very big, they're very thick, and there's room separating them. And it's under one of these, we're not sure which one. So the halach is, midrabanan, you have to be worried, we're not sure which one it is, they're all going to be aser. The kuti is not believed to say that it's under this tree, but it's not under the, he has no nemanus when it comes to that. Prois is a similar halach to tan, abanim prois, hayoitzes min hageder. The same case, but the mace is not underneath a tree, but rather it's underneath avanim. These are stone bricks, so to speak, that are protruding from a wall. So you know it's underneath one of these stones. You're just not sure which one it is. So the halach is that there's something called the tum of schachis and prais. As it relates to the kuti, this is not something that they're nizerin. They were chashin on this. They themselves weren't careful for it. I mean that they weren't careful. It's for that reason, they're not believed. Me beis hapras. What's the a beis hapras? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul. Minafeich other beis. So first halacha regarding a beis hapras. A person could blow in a beis hapras. A person wants to walk in a beis hapras and not be taught to koy. Wants to walk in a beis hapras. So he can blow v'hoylech and it's not a problem. Yehuda bar Ami mishpeit Rav Yudama beis hapras shenidish tar. A beis hapras that a lot of people walked over is also a tar. We don't know what a beis hapras is yet. Wait. V'tana acharish beis hakvaros harez oyser beis hapras. Oh, so what's a beis hapras? If you had a field that we know for sure once had at least a caver in it, and now this field was plowed over. So in theory, if the field was plowed over, any caver that was there is gone. It was unfortunately, very sadly destroyed. So based on that, there should be no halacha of there being any issue to be able to go there. Stating that Chamim said that area is called the Beis HaPras, and it conveys tumah, albeit midrabon. And that's the halacha of a Beis HaPras. Now, by the way, being that it's only midrabon, and that's where you find coolers by Beis HaPras, also being that, what's the chashash? What's this whole midrabon? Rabbanan. You're afraid there might be an etzem somewhere. So that's the basis to this halacha. You can blow it, or if a lot of people trampled over it, any atzomis that might have been there are gone, so you don't have to worry about it. Vat kama hu oisa. So if you plow it, but the whole area, like what, the whole city now becomes a base of brass? So the Gemara says, b'loi mana. It's as far as the plow is going to do its thing, which is Mea Amma, the equivalent of 100 Amma, Beis Abrasam, an area for Son, Beis Abichamish, fine. Either way, so those, when it comes to Schachis, price, and Beis Abras, the guy has no, the Kuti has no Namanus. Fade the Mars, that's true, but Lame, any time we went to the price of Son, the Shavabah Kever, Nema Kuti, Lame, Incham Kever. If you have a field where Kever was lost, the Kuti is believed to see there is no Kever. The Vicha, in a Mayat, El Al Gufish Al Kever, because he's not saying Eidos on the field that has no Kever. He's saying Eidos on the kever itself. We'll explain in a second. Elon Shu, Mesa Chalo Aretz. If you have a tree that's covering on top of a piece of land, Nema Loime Eintacht of kever. Lufisha Eine Meyed, Elo Alkufet Shal kever. Meaning, even though we said the Chuti is not careful when it comes to these ideas of Schaches and Prois. So that would be a reason to look at the Chuti as being Chashed in that area. If he's Chashed in that area, he has no Nemanis to tell you things. You know, yay or nay. But says the Braisa that being that the Sugya of Schaches and Prois relate to a kever, and the kuti is nizer in kever, so it's rooted in a din that the kuti is careful in. So if it's rooted in a din, a kuti is careful in, this is not something he's considered chashud for, and if he's not chashud, so for that reason, he does have an amanus. But the bottom line is, you have a steer. The Mishnah says he has no amanus when it comes to schachis and prais and beis apras. Price didn't mention beis apras, but the price has certainly mentioned schachis and the concept of prais, a field where you know there's a kev, you just don't know where it is. Where even though the kuti himself is not nizim, but being that he's nizim in the idea of kfaris, so therefore you have to be machmer. So don't we have a steer? Is the kuti yablid? Is it not believed? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, similar to what the Gemara said earlier, but mahalo chuba pnei kula. The only time he's believed is if he himself is walking in the field. So if he's walking on the field, so then you assume that he's believed. If he's not walking on the field, then Enechanami, that's where he's going to be chashed. So this Bryce is talking about he himself is there. So he himself is there, that's different. If he's there, then it should be Pasha. Meaning, the Shaila, believed or not believed, you would think is more Lifneiver related. But now you tell me he's there. So let me know Lifneiver. So you see, he's there and he's careful in Kfarim. So the Mara says, Mal de Temer, it's so a Nafka Kamashmalan. Even though he himself walked through the entire field, maybe there's a part of the field that he doesn't realize is part of the field. The bottom line is you can never, you would have thought maybe you can't trust him 100% when it comes to this. Kamash Malan. Last line, Zeh Klal, Fidim Alasuye Mai. So we said that sometimes a Kuti is a Chashid, sometimes he's not a Chashid, sometimes we believe him, sometimes we don't believe him. And then the Mishnah said, Dovash Achshudim Boy, Ain't a Man and Allah. Zeh Klal, Lasuye Mai, Zeh Klal, always be Marbet something. Lasuye Tchumim Yain Nesach. It's coming to be Marbet Tchumim. Rashi says, Tchum Shabbos, which is a Dinder Abana, although there's a Shittas Rabbi Akiva and Shas that holds Tchumim's Day Raisa. I guess the Kutim Paskin, like the Chachamim, not like Rabbi Akiva. They are Tchumim's only Midrabanan. So it's only Midrabanan. So they are Chashim because they don't keep these Dinderabanan. But Yayin Nesach and the Aloch of Stam Yenam, that's also a Dinderabanan. And being that it's a Dinderabanan, so the Aloch is that the Kutim will be considered a Chashid for it. Hadran Aloch, Dam Nika. So there's some raid to talk about. We'll get to it at the end of the daf. But just before we turn the page, just one ha'ara. So you see over here, the Gemara just went through a little bit the Shulchan Aruch of the Kutim. So it's interesting because the Gemara sometimes will discuss the halachas of a Ben Noyach. So a Ben Noyach has a Shulchan Aruch. He has to keep the Sheven Mitzvahs Bnei Noyach. The sugyas are primarily in Perek Abba Mises and Masechta Sanhedrin. The Rambam talks about it towards the end of Hilchas Malachim. There's a whole Shulchan Aruch. There's a Hilchas Ben Noyach. So even though it's Ben Noyach doesn't have Tayag Mitzvahs, he has Sheven Mitzvahs and some. But the halachas of a Ben Noyach appear in the Teresh of Alpeh. There's a lot of gemaras and raid as it relates to the halachas of a Ben Noyach because it's part of Torah. So the Shulchan Aruch of a Ben Noyach. Here you have the Shulchan Aruch of the Kutim, which is interesting because the Kutim, they really have a Shulchan Aruch. Either they're Yidden if you hold their Geri Emes, or they're not if you hold their Geri Arayis. This is their own Shulchan Aruch. But the gemara is going off discussing what the Kutim did keep, what they didn't keep. Why? Not because we care about what the Kutim did. I don't think we do. It's because it's negay us. Here's the bottom line. Could you trust the Kuti if he says there's no nafel buried in that oil where the nida usually stays? Could you trust the Kuti when it comes to halachas of Yayin Nesech, when it comes to Ad Kan Tchum Shabbos? So all these different halachas are negay us. So we're dissecting and we're analyzing this alternate Shulchan Aruch, not because we care about their Shulchan Aruch. It's because their Shulchan Aruch has bearings on us. In the same vein, you find that the Gemara discussed the Tzedukim. The Tzedukim lived amongst the Yidden. So sometimes it was important to know what the Tzedukim kept and what the Tzedukim didn't keep. You have the Karoim as well. It's just interesting. It's interesting that a few weeks ago, we spoke about the Karoim and we quoted from a sefer called Ginzei Shachter, that Ginzei Shachter picks two ideas as it relates to the Karam. So the Karam were a group of people similar to the Kuthians and the Sadducees that lived in the Middle Ages, in the times of the Rishonim, who kept certain areas of the Torah, but then they veered off. They had their own Shulchan Aruch. So Ginzei Shachter chronicled some of the halachas of the Karam, some of the things that they observed. And there were two interesting things. One was that they didn't hold of the halach of a ben pakua. So if they would shecht a behema, that's mi'uberes, they wouldn't even eat, they wouldn't even shecht the behema uberes. Meaning not only did they not hold the halach of ben pakua, they wouldn't even shecht it. A behema, female, kosher, chulin, they would not check it if it was pregnant. Why? Because of the halach of oisei ves benoi, they look at the uber as being a viable child, and as a result, there's a lisser. Oisei ves benoi, how could you check the mother and check the child? Another halacha that we said that Ginzei Shachter chronicled as it relates to the karoy was the idea of bia with the ishtay mu'beres. They wouldn't be boiled ishtay mu'beres. And partially it's because of Rabbi Kiveger's kasha. In Shuvas Rabbi Kiveger, Simin Kofayim Beis, that being that uba yarechimai, and you find this idea of he uvlada nirvu with regards to kachem and gemar besachtas tmura. So luchur, you'd have the same idea as it relates to how you let her be boiled ishtay if she's a mu'beres. Why are you worried about the bi'ir on the vlad? So luchur, if it's a girl, you're being boiled bitay. Right? That was Rabbi Kiveger's kasha in the tshuva. So we said that this is the karo in Lashita Saya. So who's this Ginzei Shachter? So I'll tell you who it is. It's actually Lahavdol. It's Solomon Shachter. So Solomon Shachter was he was a big rabbi, and he was a big Talmud Chacham. He eventually joined the faculty of Oxford University, and he was the rabbi of Oxford University. And Kiyadua, there were two people affiliated with Oxford that had stumbled upon the Cairo Geniza. So in the olden days, people used to hide Seamus in a Geniza. The Geniza was often the attic of a shul, and there were things that were hidden there. So there was this shul, I think it was called the Ben Ezra Synagogue, that was in Cairo, and this is a shul that allegedly the Rambam davened in. But the point is, they stumbled upon this in the 19th century, this Geniza, and they found documents there, and they took back some artifacts. They brought it to Solomon Shachter. He's the rabbi at Oxford University, and they showed it to him, and he realized that this is significant. I mean, who knows what they're going to find there. Anyways, they ended up buying it, and they shipped it all to Oxford, and he spent years and years and decades of his life researching the Cairo Geniza. Probably the most important find that he had, or at least what he thought, was they found an original Ben Sira. So Ben Sira comes up in Shasala, perhaps Yirmiyahu HaNavi's son, Nisabra Bambati. So they found an original Ben Sira. No one had an original Ben Sira. And they found fragments of an original Ben Sira. But some of the things that he found there were different documents related to the Karoim. And he worked on it. Ginzei Shachter, as in Solomon Shachter. That's where it comes from. Some of the rest of the story as it relates to the Karoim. But this is like Me'inyan Le'inyan, the Gemara that we just learned. We're going through the halachas of the Kutim. Why are we doing it? Not as a historical fact, because it's interesting to know what the Karoim were like. No, this is halacha l'maisa, because the Yidden lived amongst the Kutim, and if they lived amongst the Kutim, they have to know. What are they Neman on? What are they Chashad on? So these were halachas that were very important. One thing that we saw that they weren't careful is in Schachas and Prais. So why weren't they careful in Schachas Prais? What is Schachas and Prais? These are real obscure halachas. So these are halachas where you know there's a maize buried and it's underneath a branch, you just don't know which branch. It's underneath a stone, you just don't know which stone. So we're chai, of course, misafik, you can't go near this area. But the kutim weren't worried. And Rashi says the reason is because the kutim, lafisha ene chosha la safik. Because the kutim didn't care about safik. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says they didn't care about safik. So why did they care about safik? Why not? Sveikudai raisa. It's the truth, this is Safik Tumah. Safik Tumah is a little bit different. You have to know, is this the Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid? But without getting involved in that, why weren't they careful about Safik? So I thought maybe there's a raya to the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is that Sveikudai Raisa L'chumra is only Midrabanan. It's not Midrabanan. The Kutim weren't careful when it came to Dini Midrabanan. That's the Gemara we just learned. So maybe, talk about a raya tucked away, neither daf nun zayin of an aleph, that the Kutim weren't careful in Schachis and Prois. Zokte Hele Gerashi, why? Lefisha ene chosh ala sofik, v'toyla hatumba ba'oil sheni misofik. They don't care about sofik. What do you mean? If they're careful on Dina Deiraisa, Fazich, you see that a Kohen would never eat Truma Tmeyan. So why all of a sudden, when it comes to Safik, when it comes to the Salacha, wouldn't they be careful? Oh, it depends maybe. If Safik is Deiraisa, then Anachanami. Maybe there's a Raya to the Rambam Shita. Everybody tries first Shmeitza. Everyone butches to find Rayas to the Rambam Shita. Maybe we could bring a Raya to the Rambam from the Kutim. Either way, like the Mishnah, Haroye Kesem al Bisara. If a woman finds a Kesem on her body, so is it a problem? Is it not a problem? So if there was no Hargasha, there was Hargasha, should be a Nida de Raisa. She found blood on her body. So do we have to assume that it's Dam Nida? Or do we not assume it's Dam Nida? Says the Mishnah Kenegah Beis HaTorfa, if she finds it next to Yisrael Makkah and Tmeya, she's looking at the Beis HaTorfa, but if it's not in an area where it seems reasonable that it came from Yisrael Makkah, she's going to be tar. Alakev, if she finds it on her heel, Val Rish Gudla, or if she finds it on her toe, that's her big toe, Tmeya. Al Shuka, if she finds it on her thigh, Val Parseise, or Al her knees, Mibifnim, the inner part, so it's very possible it came from Yisrael Makkah and Tmeya. Mibachutz, if it's on the outer part, Tahira, it's going to be tar. Val Had Stadim, if she found it on the sides, which here doesn't mean the outside and the inside, because that's b'fnim b'chutz, but it would mean the front and the back. Mikanu kan toyer, then it's for sure going to be taras. If she finds it not on her body, she finds it on her back. If it's the lower part of her body, it's going to be tami. If it's on her beged, but corresponding to the upper part of her body, she's going to be taras. What if she found it on her sleeve? On her hand. If the sleeve can reach to the Beis HaTorfa, she's going to be talking. What if this beged that she found the kesem on is a beged that she also uses as a blanket when she goes to sleep? So then the halacha is called, it doesn't matter where it is. Because even though when she wears the beged, maybe she found it in an area that's not good neged Beis HaTorfa, but if she used it as a blanket, so then, you know, anything is possible. And the reason is, because it moves around. The same is going to be true for a puyas, some other sheet or blanket that she usually goes to sleep with, so that it doesn't matter what part of it you find it on, you're going to have to be concerned. So very simple. If a woman finds that, so we know the end of the story, and that is, there was no Hargasha, so if there was no Hargasha, for sure she's not going to be a Nida Midereisa. The Gemara is going to develop it a little bit. But for sure she's not going to be a Nida Midereisa. She's at best a Nida Midereisa. Why? Again, like the Rambam says, Ein Isha Mestamim and Atar B'Nida B'Ziva Ad She Targish. And being that there was Hargasha over here, she's for sure not going to be a Nida Midereisa. The question is, she a Nida Midereisa? As if it came from the Makar, she is a Nida Midereisa. If not, not. But we have no idea where it came from. She didn't feel it. She just found it. So it's just common sense. Is it in an area where there's reasonable... It's reasonable to assume that it came from the makar, then she's going to be tummy. And it sounds like it doesn't matter if it came from her guf, or if she found it on her guf. It doesn't matter if she found it on her beged. The halacha is always going to be the same. Amar Shmuel. So the Gemara begins with Shmuel's statement. And again, it's going to take us into tomorrow's daf to properly understand what Shmuel meant. But if a woman sat down and she checked the floor that she was about to sit on, and then she sat down, meaning it was clean. Then she got up and she found dam tahira. She's tahar. She nemar b'fsara, ad she targish b'fsara. Being that there was no hargasha, she's tahar. Now, I'll give away the ending. The Gemara is going to say at the top of Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph that even though Shmuel said tahira, it's only midiraisa. Of course, midirabbanan, this is Kesem 101. The point is that she's tahar midiraisa because b'fsara ad she targish. B'fsara, and being that there was no argasha, she's afraid to marhay b'fsara mi'boyle. You're using b'fsara to teach me this halacha. I need it for something else. To teach me that a woman that has dam nida, even if the dam never leaves her basar, the halacha is she's still tamei. Right? What makes a woman a nida? When dam leaves the uterus, but it doesn't go from the uterus right out of the body, it goes through the kaisle beis harechem. It goes through oisem makom. So when it leaves the uterus, even though it's b'kaisle beis harechem, she's still tamei. And I know it because it says b'fsara. As long as it's still in her basar, she's still tame. What do you see? That luchura, I need b'fsara to teach me that very important halacha. How could I use it to teach me the halacha of hargashos? The Gemara says, "Okay, le mekra b'basar, my b'fsara." Shmam, you know, you learn two halachas. Ad shetargish b'fsara. But the Gemara says, "I already use it for another halacha." We learn from b'fsara, but le b'shvir, but le b'chatik. If a woman sees dam nida, but the dam came out in a clump of something, so a mass came out, and in the mass there was dam nida, or a shvir came out, and in the shvir there was dam nida. So the halacha, she's not tame because it didn't come directly from her basar, came from her basar, but it was sandwiched in something else. The point is don't I already use b'fsara to teach me two things? Number one, she's tamei even though it never left her basar. Number two, she's only tamei if it was directly in the basar, but if it came inside a chatich or a shvir, she's not tamei. So the Gemara, Zok the Gemara, Tartishma, Bakadu, Sarva, Bishavu, Bechaticha, versus Tartishma, you can learn this drasha as well. The point is that there's many drashas that we learn from Bifsar, Zok the Gemara, Tashma. So again, what was Shmuel's halacha? The simple reading of Shmuel's halacha. The simple reading of Shmuel's halacha is a woman, she wants to sit down, so she makes sure the area is clean before she sits, and now she sat down, she got up, and she fell down. So Shmuel said to her, he didn't say she's even tummy midrabbanan, bear that in mind. I mean, at first glance, Shmuel's halacha contradicts the basic halachas of Ksom. The Gemara is going to ask that kasha at the end of the Amid. But just not to get confused, he said Tahira, meaning she's 100% Tahira. Think the Gemara, is that true? In other words, you need Hargosha in order to be a Nida. We learned a Mishnah later. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. A woman went to the bathroom, and while she went to the bathroom, she was urinating, she saw Dam. Rameir says, what's the question? Did this Dam come from the uterus, or did it come from her bladder? If it came from her bladder, she's not a nida. If it came from her makar, then she is a nida. So Rameya says, if she was standing while she was urinating, she's tame. If she was sitting, she's going to be tame. Faith the Gemara, I hear. A complicated halacha. But hey, chidabi, what's the case? If she felt the dam, meaning she felt the dam leave the uterus, Yeshevas am I tired? The wife, she's sitting and she tore. El Lavloy Argisha. El Amayit's talking about when she didn't feel anything. That's why we're not sure what's going on here. Victoria Ned this to me, and still it says if she was standing, she was tame. So Lechura, how does this Ramey or Shtim with Shmuel's halacha? Shmuel said a woman only becomes a need if there was Argosha. Lechura over here, there was no Argosha. So the Gemara says, Lo'oilam de Argisha. Really, it's talking about where there was Argosha. The Amer says the Gemara, Argoshas me raglayim havoi. Even though there was Argosha, it's the reason she doesn't think there was Hargosha is because she was going to the bathroom. So the Hargosha she had of going to the bathroom is what she thought she felt when really she felt Damnida. Meaning, Hocha b'mayaskinan, where even though she tells you there was no Hargosha, we're not going to assume there was no Hargosha. Because we're going to assume the reason she thinks there was no Hargosha is because she thought the Hargosha was the sensation of going to the bathroom, when in reality it was the Dam. But the point is, her saying there was no Hargosha usually we listen to, and that plays a big role in Hilchas Nida. Over here, not, because over here, Eber Hargoshes Meir Raglayim Avoy. Either way, so what's the shaila? And why standing? Yeah, standing. The Gemara says, I met this. Hold the Meir Raglayim Makar. Meir hold that the Metzias is that if a woman is standing, it's possible for it to be Roya Dam Nida even while she's urinating. V'aisidam. V'yosheves Tahira. That was Rameir's Metzias. Rameir said a woman could have Dam Nida urinating standing, not sitting. That's what Yeshevas Torah, standing Tmei. What was the kasha again? Standing Tmei, she said there was no Hargosha, because if she said there was Hargosha, she'd be Tmei even if she was sitting. She said there was no Hargosha, but we're assuming that she just thought there was no Hargosha, but she confused the Hargosha with Hargosha's Meir Raglayim. A similar Gemara, Toshma, another halacha that we've seen. A woman did a bedika, so in the old days there was no electricity. A woman would do a bedika at night. Why would a woman do a bedikah at night? So this is an Isha Isakis Batiris, where the Chachamim said, before Tashmish, after Tashmish, the Tznu, and if you remember the beginning of the Masechta, so she does a bedikah, but she couldn't check the bedikah cloth at night. So she'd put it away somewhere, Tachas Hakar, and then in the morning she'd wake up, when it was light, she'd inspect it. So this woman did a bedikah, and then she put it away. The Nimtzol of Damtam, she found Dam. So what's the loch? Im Ogul, if it's round Tahar, then she's Tahar. The Im Moshuch Tomei. If it's mashuch, it's like a straight line, then she's going to be tummy. What's the svara? Mashuch looks like the dam is there through the bedika. The act of bedika would cause the dam to be mashuch. If it was round, it looks like it's a stain. If it's a stain, she's tar. What about ksamen? So you're making a kemta, it was very small. A kesem is only a kesem if it's the shear of a gris. We'll assume that it was pachas mikasher, that's why it's tar. But the point is, mashuch tummy. If she felt it, ogla my tahar. The why, if it's ogla shitar, el lavdulay argasha. Victani mashuk tami. What about argasha? What do you mean? You're not sure if it's dam neither, if it's not dam neither. Was there argasha? It mamashuk. So the Gemara says, lo yidam argasha. Really, there wasn't. This is a very important din lahalacha. Really, there was argasha. She doesn't think there was argasha, because if she thought there was argasha, she would know she's a neither. No, the eimer argasha is eid havoi. But being that she did a bedika, it's possible there was a argasha, and the reason she doesn't think she had a argasha is because she's confusing the Hargosha's dam with the Hargosha of the Bedika. The Bedika also has a sensation. So it's for that reason the Hargosha can't help me over here. So what I'm left with is a suffix. Maybe there was Hargosha. So I have to look at the dam. If it's Mashuch, Vada Megufa Asa. And therefore, maybe there was also Hargosha. As a result, she's going to be Tommy or be me suffix. Ogol, if it's Ogol, it definitely didn't come from the Bedika. In that case, Tar is going to be Tar. Tashma, another right. Nimtza al Shaloi Tmeim. If he, after again, we're referring to the woman that's a second batayrus, where the chalon imposed certain bedikas. One of the bedikas is after tashmish, you do a bedika. So he used to do a bedika, and she used to do a bedika. She did a bedika on her gof, he did a bedika on his gof. So the Mishnah said, nimsal shaloi, if he found dam on his aver, so the aloch is tmein, they're both going to be tame, not just that, chayovim bekorbin. Because we assume that the dam was nibish hasbir, and if it was nibish hasbir, then he was a boy only. The boy only is going to be chayv to be a carbon chattis. Nimsal shalah, if she found it on her gof, oisyoin, if she found it immediately, to maybe chayv in carbon. Nimsal al shalah achazman, if she found it a little bit afterwards, tmei misafik. Why misafik? Because it's not muchach that it was nibish hasbir. Maybe it came a little bit after beer. So if it came a little bit after beer, p'turim not carbon, you'd be puffer. I mean, if it's not his aver, clearly it came from the beer. But if it's on her gof, you don't know for sure that it was nibish hasbir. Maybe it came a little bit after the beer. So at the very least, tmei misafik, for sure. But as it relates to a carbon, you can't bring a carbon. What about a nashim tali? So that the Gemara discussed earlier in the Masechta. But for sure, no carbon chad. But the Gemara says again, hey chidami, I don't understand what's going on here. Ida argusha lachasman, I might p'turim not carbon. If there was argusha, then we know what happened. Elo the loy argusha, elo there was no argusha. Fitarin them salash loy oisim tmei v'chayovin carbon. The Gemara says like loy them argusha really was argusha. Maybe argusha shabbos shabbos. Again, it's very reasonable to assume that there was a little bit of confusion here, and the reason there would have been confusion is because maybe the dam, maybe the argusha happened b'shas tashmish. As a result, b'kai gavna, we're going to have to be concerned. Excel. So just to end with one ha'ara, going back to the first part of the daf. So the first part of the daf mentioned a whole bunch of different halachas, all in the context of the kutin. One of the things I mentioned is that the kutin are believed when it comes to a tzion. That when it comes to saying there's somebody buried here, somebody not buried here, so kutin's believed to say, oh, this field, there's nobody buried in this field. Right? You don't see any matzevos here. And the reason there's no matzevos is because nobody's buried here. And the Gemara asked the kasha. The Gemara said the whole idea of erecting a matzeva is really a dinder rabbanon. So being that it's a dinder rabbanon, why does the kuti have any nemanus when it comes to the tzion? That was the Gemara's kasha. The alpha gabi the rabbanon who said the Gemara that it's true. The obligation to erect the tzion is only a dinder rabbanon, but at the same time, it has a makar in a pasuk. As a makar in a pasuk in Nach. It has a makar in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel Hanavi said, Uvana etzai, v'ra etzem adu, uvana etzai tzion. So we did as a makar in a pasuk. So there the kutim were careful when it came to these things, and it's for that reason they have an amanus. The Gemara, Mesachtes Ma'ikot and Daf Hei, discusses in very great detail the obligation that one has if he buries a mace to put a matzeva on top of the mace. Omer Rab Shimon ben Pazi, remez litzion kfaros min ha-Torah minayin. How do you know that you have to literally mark a grave? How do you know that you have to put something on top of the grave to know that there's a person buried here? So Rab Shimon ben Pazi said, Talmud Loi, let's learn from this posse that the Gemara just quoted. V'ro etzem adam, uvana etz litzion. The posse that even the Kutim knew, that even the Kutim observed, that Yecheskel HaNavi describes the aftermath of Mechemes Gog u'Magog, and it says you're going to be walking in the street, you're going to see a bone, you're going to bury it, and you're going to put a tzion on top of it. So you see from here, Rebbe's letzion kfaris min ha-Torah. Omele, Ravina Rav Ashi. So Ravina told Rav Ashi, Hami kamid leisi Yecheskel. That's a pasuk in Yecheskel. I don't understand. And before Yecheskel, Yecheskel lived the end of Bayis Rishon, Golus Bavel. What about before that? Right? What about the 1,000 years before Yecheskel? What happened then? So the Gemara, L'tameich, according to you, there's other halachas that we learn from Yecheskel. I'm skipping. Elamai says the Gemara what it always says. You have to say, Gemara Gemirila, that this pasuk in Yecheskel, really, we have the tradition. We have it, Allah HaLamayish Mitzinai. What did Yecheskel do? Yecheskel, in his nevuahs, gave us a pasuk. He gave us some Torah Shevek Saf, something that the Yidden already knew, the Torah Shevek Pet. They already knew Allah HaLamayish Mitzinai. Hachanami, same as it relates to this, Allah Gemara Gemirila, Vasi Yecheskel, Vas Mechakra. Either way, the first Makar that the Gemara brings, Amr Hashem Ben Pazi, Rebbe's Letzin, Kfaras Menatari Minayin, it's learned out from this pasuk. V'ra Etzem Adam. Uvana etzlei tzion. But the Gemara continues. Rav Avoh Amar Mihach. Rav Avoh learned it from a different pasuk. V'tamei tamei yikra. Regarding the mitzayra, he's supposed to pronounce, supposed to tell everybody that he's tamei. We learn from there that tuma kaira loy v'meres loy praish. Now, whenever this tuma, you have to tell people this tuma. So you have to put a tzion on top of a kever because there's tumas meis. People have to know what's going on. Abaye Amar Mihach. Abaye said it's v'lifnei yivir loy sita michshol. It's very simple. Rav Papa learned it from a different pasuk. V'amas soilu soilu pani derech. You have to pave the road. Pave it from Tumah. Reb Chanina said, "Harimu michshol miderech ami." Reb Shu prayed, "Ravidi yomer vaydatum lehem es aderech hashi yelchuvam." Tell people, "Pasha, that's aderech hashi yelchuvam." You should know the derech Hashem. Says no, they should know what roads they're led. If you're a kohen, am I allowed to go down this road? You have to know. Mazucha yomer vizartem es bnei yisrael mitumasa. That's also the pasuk that teaches us the halachas of vestos. Rav Ashi Yomu Shmartim es Mishmarti. Ravina Omer, Ravina said, V'som derech arenu b'yeshel. It came either way. A whole bunch of psukim that the Gemara brings to tell me what? Remez litzion kvarois min atorim minayin. Zok toises in Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amar Aleph, that even though the Gemara begins this discussion, introduces it with the comment, Rebbe's Latzi and Kvaras Matar Minayin, it certainly sounds like the obligation that one has to put a matzev on top of a mace is a dinde raisa. Zok toises really is not a dinde raisa. It's only a dinde rabbana. How do I know that? Zok toises is the Gemara neither Daf Nun Zayin Amar Aleph. Because the Gemara has to kasha why the Kutim believed when it comes to Tzi and Kvaras, Vamid Rabbanan Hu. So it says toises to Mufurish Gemara. I, the Gemara says in my cotton, Dalpeyam and Aleph, Rebels that see in Kfaras Menatari Minayim, it must mean it's like an Asmachta. That's all it is. But really? Really, it's not a Dindai Raisa. Really, what it is a Dindai Rabbanan. Now, Tosis is, at first glance, Shver, because the first shot that the Gemara gave was a Pasuk in Yecheskel, which the Gemara said is really Allah Lamashim Sinai, and all Yecheskel did was Asmachei Akra. But that's a conversation for another day. But that's what Tosis says. Incidentally, the context of Tosis is, and this is comment above a bastard of Kufman Zayin and Aleph. So it's Perek Misha Meis, so you could be talking about Matzevus, but that's not how it comes into to Bava Basra Kuf Mem Zayin. The Gemara over there says, Minayin lematna Shchiv Mera Shu Min HaTorah. The matna Shchiv Mera with the unique Shulchan Aruch of a Shchiv Mera, Kechsuvim Uchim Surim Dami, and the Gemara says it's a Dindei Raisa. So Toysis Lav Min HaTorah Dafka Kom. It's not really a Dindei Raisa. It's a Derabonon Degedin. I this Loshin. Minayin lematna Shchiv Mera Shu Min HaTorah. It's a short Toysis. Says Toysis, there's precedence for that. Because the Gemara says in my cotton, Dafayim and Aleph Remez Litzim Kvaris Min HaTorah Minayin. And it's Mavur in Nida Daf Nun Zayin Amin Aleph in the Sugi of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Kutim, that it's only a Din Derabonon. But the bottom line is, that's clear. That there's an obligation that one has to put a Tziyoin, to put a matzeva of some sort on top of a mace. There's another sugya in Shas that discusses the halachas of matzevas, and it's really a Mishnah in the Sechtes Shkolim, Dav Zayin Amanav. The Mishnah over there is discussing what happens if somebody died and this person was an ani, and they raised money, so he should have a Kfuras Yisrael, and there was leftover money. After they buried him, they paid the Chevra Kadisha, And there's leftover money. And the question is, what are you supposed to do with the leftover money? It's a big machloek is in the Mishnah, what you do. A mayor says, Moisra Meis, Yehemunachat Sheyov Yeliyov. Another man says, you give it to the Yarshin. Rav Nosson says, Moisra Meis, Boinulay Nefesh Al Kivroy. You know what you're supposed to do? You should build a Nefesh. So if there's leftover money, you take the leftover money and you build a Nefesh with it. And then the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Leimer, a digression. Ain Oisim Nefashleis Litzadikim. That even though you see from the Mishnah is an idea of a nefesh, but segrav shemun gamliel mara deshmeitz bekula tamuda. Rabbi said that the other day. But ein boy oisim nefashis l'tzadikim. You never build a nefesh for a tzadik. The reason is divrayim hein zechroinu. Because what's the point of a nefesh? You should remember. Mizol gedekin that there's a tzadik buried over here. He doesn't need anyone's help. We're gonna remember him anyways. Abaya needs a matzeva on his kever, so we should remember Abaya. Remember Abaya, because we learn Abaya is the Abaya of Avram. It's not necessary. You need a tzion on top of the kever of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You say it every day. L'kei Avram, l'kei Yitzchak, l'kei Yaakov. It's not necessary. And being that it's not necessary, said Rav Shimon Gamliel, ain't boin in nefashos al tzadik. We don't build nefashos on top of a tzadik. So the question is, what exactly is this nefesh? What is this nefesh? Zok the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis, the nefesh who habinyan sha'oisen ala kever. It's the binyan that you put on top of a kever. V'hu nikrit tzion b'loshen ha'kodesh u'bona etz leitzin. And he quotes this pasuk. U'bona etz leitzin. So it sounds very much from the two sugyas that we just learned that there's an idea of remez leitzin kfaras min ha'torah minayim, that there's an idea to build a tzion based on this pasuk in Yecheskel of Ra'etzem Adu Mubon Etzel Tzion and many other pasukim as well. Even though from the Gemara it sounds like it's a Dindei Raisa, Toises above a Basra Kufman Zayin Amar Aleph, based on the Gemara Nidin Nun Zayin Amar Aleph, today's daf, said that, no, really, it's not a Dindei Raisa, it's a Dindei Rabbanan, but it's at the very least a Dindei Rabbanan. And then you have this sugya in Mesech Tishkolim, Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, it's a Mishnah, and then Rav Shimon Gamliel's Memra, that we don't build Nefashos on top of the tzaddikim, because divrayim hein zechroinam, which would seem to suggest that you don't have to build this tzion, deraisa, derabanan, whatever the makar might be, when it comes to the nefesh of a tzaddik. So it's interesting. I saw that Rav Moshe in a tshuva, in Igros Moshe, and this is in Yerudea. It's Chela Gimel. It's at the end of Simin Kuf Nun Dalet. So he discussed, there was apparently a real life Shiloh where there was a discussion to bury a Psayid. And the bottom line is he went into this halach of the mice, the leftover money, and of a mace that they collected, and what he's supposed to do with it. And this halach as it relates to burying Yarshim. So he brings that this Gemara in Shkol and Daf Zayin Amud Aleph that ain ois in the fashas of tzaddikim, and it brings the Rambam and Pirush HaMishnayos that the Rambam says Pirush HaMishnayos calls the Rambam Shua Tzion the Kasuv Ubone Etzloi Tzion. He says, I don't understand that because Tzion Hu Bishvil Kayhanim isn't the idea of the. How do you understand the Gemara Ma'ikot and Daf Hayam Amud Aleph? Like, why is it that you're supposed to build a matzeva? Pashup Shad is it's for the Kayanim. That's for the Pashup Shad. It's related to Tumah. And he says Ramosh, it's mashma that way in the Gemara Ma'ikot and Daf Hayam Amud Aleph. Right? Some of the reasons that the Gemara gave was related to clear the road, so people should know if the Kayanim is allowed to travel there or not. So it's related to Tumah. Vu Tzion Besid V'chem Benidah Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph Befurish Shul Harchik. So he says, I don't understand the Rambam. The Rambam said, "Ain oisin afashas letzadikim ishtelin to the sugya my kandafe." It's two different sugyas. What does one have to do with the other? This is a shail of knowing if there's a meister. Meaning, for this sugya over here, my kandafe emeral says Rav Moshe, a little bit of sid. Sid is plaster. Put something there. That is only to do with the divreim hein zechroinam. What's up doing anything? It's for the Kayanim to know what they're supposed to do. L'chur, what does one have to do with the other? The Rambam made one sugya, Moed Katan and Dav Hey, Shkolim Dav Zayin, which by extension, Nida Dav Nun Zayin, Bava Basar Kufman Zayin, it's all one big happy family. It's all one big sugya. Do you have to mark a grave or do you not have to mark a grave? They raise it, the Rabbanon, Aloch HaLamesh Misinai, Kutim Yeh, Kutim No. And in the Rambam, based on the Gemara and Shkol and Daf Zayin, a tzaddik doesn't have to worry about it. Frank Ramosh, it doesn't make any sense. Number one. And number two, I don't think it's the same thing. Here we're talking about nefashos. It sounds like, I don't know, maybe like a binyan, an oil, a matzeva, a poi nitman with an inscription. But either way, Ramosh says, not tzarechin. He says, v'tzarechin gadol on the Rambam. How the Rambam lumped it all together and turned it into one sugya. But I'll just tell you three interesting things as it relates to this, and we'll end here. The first thing is that Ein oisim nefashas tzaddikim, and the reason is because devrayim is their zichroinus. Rav Kiveger in Hizagoyis and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Avelis, this in Yerideya Simon Shin Ayin Vav. So he discusses when is the appropriate time to put up a matzeva. Like when's the appropriate time for Akamas matzeva? So Rav Kiveger brings that there are those haminics. It's really based on Minhagim, but there is a minik she'ema mida matzeva ad acha yud beis chaydesh. The reason ad achiyud beis chaydesh, and Reb Kivei gives two reasons for it. The second reason, inami da atam da matzeva shlo yishkach oisay milev va'meis enoy nishkach ad achiyud beis chaydesh. The whole idea of a matzeva, you shouldn't forget the meis. After 12 months, you're not going to forget the meis anyway, so it's not necessary. After 12 months, that's when you should go ahead and do it. What's the makar? It's pashut. The makar is this gemara. This gemara right here in Shkolim Dav Zayin Amud Aleph that you don't put a nefesh on top of the kibbutz tzadikim. Why not? Because they're divrayim, they're Torah, hein zechroinim. Meaning you're not forgetting them. Oh, so you see the idea of a nefesh, of a matzeva, is not to forget the mace. Oh, if it's not to forget a mace, so for a tzaddik, you're never going to forget the tzaddik. But as it relates to a regular person who's not a tzaddik, yud beis chodesh, ein ha-mace, nishkach min aleif. So at the very least, for the yud beis chodesh, that's not something you're going to have to do. But the second thing, and that is, you know, a tshuva from the ksav soifer. So the ksav soifer and a tshuva in Kufay and Ches, again, he's discussing this sugi over here. So toich dvarav, he says a dover nifla, ulesayim betoiv, atzigono poi mash. So he says in a tshuva, I'll tell you a little bit about my drasha that I gave at the Akamas Matzeva of the Chassam Soifer. That's what the Chassam Soifer says. And he asked the Kasha, he says, I don't understand. He says, today the minig is that the bigger the tzaddik you are, the bigger the Rebbe you are, the bigger the oil you have. He says, it's not what the minig always was. The minig was, a nice in the fashos of tzaddikim. So what happened? And they were putting up a nice Matzeva for the Chassam Soifer. He says, chfashtenish, what's the point? I thought, a nice in the fashos of tzaddikim. The Gemara says, Divreim hein zechroinam. So if Divreim hein zechroinam, so why are we doing it? And Ayin Shom, he says beautifully, but the punchline is, he says it's true. Ein ois in the fashas of tzaddikim for the tzaddikim. Tzaddikim don't need it. They don't need it. Whatever schoolers come from having a matzeva and them being remembered, they're not being forgotten anyways. It's not necessary for them. but we need it for ourselves. And the Yidden need it. And he said the reason the minhag changed was, this is because Yidden used to go to Kivrei Tzadikim and they would get chizik and they would daven and they would be poel yeshuas. So the Ksav Sofer said that the reason the minhag changed, the reason it flipped, because it's true. Rav Shimon Gamliel said that as it relates to the Tzadikim, that they themselves don't need it. Ein nois in the fashos Tzadikim. They're going to be remembered regardless. But the chizik, the amount of chizik that Achenu Bnei Yisrael get from going to Kivrei Tzadikim, that's tremendous, and that has nothing to do with the Tzadik. It's for our cheshbin, and that was this natzlus that the Ksav Sofer said at the Komas Matzev of the Ksav Sofer.